smash factor.
Ripping driver going for it.
Oh my goodness.
How about that tee shot?
That is crazy how far that is.
Wow. John Daly, take a back seat, big fella. How about that drive?
That's an aggressive line.
Man, that is beyond long.
Look at this. He's just driven the green. He has just driven the green.
I guess hello world, huh?
Welcome, everybody, to week 20 of the 2020-2021 PGA season. We are live for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Always a special tournament for the PGA Tour. Kind of sandwiched a little bit different this year in the schedule with WGC last week and the Players next week. So maybe not as many top name talents as we're used to being here this week, but still plenty of firepower up top. Tremendous week last week. We'll go over that real quick, go over promos, introductions, listener league winner, and then take a view of the course preview for the Bay Hill, and then on to the picks. Monday night here. Thought about doing this tomorrow morning because definitely exhausted from the weekend and getting the new site launched. We've had a lot of positive feedback all day long, which is super awesome. Just the beginning, we got a lot going out, a lot of promos this week, next week, for internal and you know, new, try to get new people to come take a look, come check us out. More on that here in a little bit. For me, you know, it was kind of a weird week where, you know, I had some Wolf. I didn't have enough that killed me, but he certainly didn't help with the withdrawal. I don't think he was in any of my three max, but he was definitely, you know, in my MME builds, was overweight, but he wasn't too high owned anyways to, you know, where it was just like a complete loss. But, you know, you go back last night and I'm looking at some of my, what I'm calling a 5 or 6 lineup with Wolf, and you're like, man, if he plays, I don't know how much worse he would have got, or if he could have, you know, come back on and finished strong. No word of injury or anything with him, but, you know, definitely a brutal blow in general. DJ, you know, looked like Saturday he kind of got things clicking, was hitting the ball better. I thought he was primed to have one of those just fairly good Sunday rounds that I think he finished, because he finished with the eagle. I think he was -1 maybe going into Sunday. I mean, yeah, we knew the wind was going to pick up, could possibly be a little bit tougher conditions. But I think, you know, he could have easily still shot a 5 or 6 under, which would have helped the overall MME. But I did okay. I lost about 40% at the end of the day of the main slate. Was about break even until the last 30 minutes Sunday. You know, I didn't have any Morikawa, so that was kind of the egg of the egg on my face. I did add him after round one on the website to a 50-1 play, so that paid off well and definitely covered the week by all means. But a little, you know, we had Brooks Reed, Quinella that would have paid 400-1. We had Scheffler out the gate. We had Reed out the gate. So a lot of action up there Sunday. Definitely was good sweat. Morikawa kind of, I won't say ran away with it, because albeit if Brooks, well, horrendous putt on 17, didn't even get it close. But if he makes that eagle, just hypothetically, you know, then he potentially, he at least is sitting at 17 under with Morikawa coming down 18. And so with that, I think, because he had a 3-shot lead on 18, it makes it a little less tight, if you will, when you're making those swings. But say Brooks makes the eagle and takes him up minimum to 18 and happens to birdie it, which was a hard birdie that day, but, you know, he could have got there. So I don't want to say Morikawa ran away with it, but, you know, he held his own and did what he had to do to, you know, keep it going. Scheffler got within one at some point and then immediately doubled the next hole. So it was fun. It was a great tournament. You know, I had plenty of Reed. I had plenty of Brooks, tons of Brooks. The core was pretty much there. I had plenty of runners on Sunday, just didn't have any Morikawa at all, had zero. So that kind of killed me. And I actually, one of the reasons why I didn't, I thought he was going to be closer to 14-15%. I can't remember what I projected him at, but he came in. He was one of the guys I wrote up in my ownership review of, kind of surprised me. I think he was 7-8% in some tourneys. If I had known that, potentially could have changed my mind there, because any of these guys that have that talent, you know, when Brooks was 7-8% or whatever he was at Waste, you know, that was a reason why I had him. And we had him outright as well, but I'm always going to look to those low-owned guys that have super high ceilings and have proven themselves, like a Morikawa, but neither here nor there. You know, I had Hovland. You know, we had Scheffler. You know, a lot of guys that were up there, just not – and the bottom end was okay. The Wolf thing definitely killed me. I don't remember – there was a couple other guys that really fell apart. I didn't have a ton of Palmer, but I did have Palmer. He you know, fell apart. A lot of these guys had struggled on the weekend. So, you know, you can't really blame them all. But all in all, when you're sitting there with an hour left and you could potentially break even on the week and you don't have the winner, I'll always take that situation. Now, it didn't break my way those last several holes. When I got to about even on the week was when Scheffler got within one, you know, and then things went kind of downhill from there. But at the end of the day, and I think I had a Horschel, but I definitely didn't have any, like Webb, I didn't have any of. So as those guys kept moving up the board, it definitely hurt me. And I faded Answer, talked about it. He was strong there. You know, so having the bet on Morikawa, I kind of saved the week, and I talked about that a little bit yesterday because it – I definitely did a bet in pre-tournament. Felt like the 50-1 number was kind of too light, you know, for where I, because I watched a lot Thursday and I was like, man, he shot 2 under. The putter looked a lot better. I didn't know if he'd continue putting like that all week, and he actually putted probably better. But to lay a number that was even better than most places, I think there's one guy on Twitter that seems to always get the best numbers besides him. Everybody else was kind of around 40-1, 45-1. You know, so to lay it, to almost say he's worse off after round one was crazy to me. So, you know, we hit that and, you know, well ahead on the week with the betting. I finally get all that, the betting caught up because I'm having to pull all that stuff manually from my old archives now. But now that we got the site rolling, kind of get through these go through the week and get everything worked out and the kinks and stuff. You know, I'll get all the betting stuff caught up, especially for the month of April. I've been doing the recaps on a monthly basis now. So I'll get all that done for February. A better month, you know, in February, even though it got drummed in the Super Bowl, but that same week I had Brooks winning. So I think at the end of the week it was like a 2-unit loss or something, even though I got smashed in the Super Bowl, which I already talked about. But had several wins. You know, we've had 6 winners now, or 3 outrights and 3 first round leaders in these 7 tournaments. So looking to keep building the momentum there, you know, and grinding through. And, you know, I like this tournament. I think it's going to be a lot like last week and these last 2 weeks, you know, tough scoring. If the winds pick up, which looks like they may, you know, anything can happen. It's not going to be a birdie fest by any means. And I tend to like those in general as we start handicapping through the week. Our March to the Masters has started. It talks about the last few weeks. Use the code MASTERS, get 30% off any package. The new site did drop last night. Use SMASH 20 and get 20% off any gear. If you're a member at GC, I dropped a special code for you guys in the Slack today. I will also send out either a post or an email for guys that aren't in Slack, so don't worry if you missed it. For this week only, kind of a special thank you to you guys helping us, supporting us as we get this new thing launched. Any new sign up from February 1st through April 11th, which is Sunday at Augusta, or any current sign up, a current sub that upgrades to full site access January 1st through April 30th or April 11th, the same Sunday at Augusta, is how you can qualify. There's going to be 3 winners. The first winner drawn out will get his choice, second winner, second choice, and then third will get what's left. We had the brand new Titleist driver. All this is on our Twitter at Gups Corner or Facebook page. You can kind of see the imagery of it all. It's valued at well over $500, almost $600. A set of custom-made Vokey SM8 wedges with the upgraded charge to customize them. That's going to be well over $500 as well. So you get to choose what you want to make them as. Our image shows the Gups Corner one. You don't have to do that. You can do whatever you want. And we have a guy, you know, Steve's going to help us. You'll be able to build them however you want them built. And then we'll have the Gups Corner gift pack items that include items from the Masters. And you can see some of the stuff you'll get to choose from. That'll be well over $300-$400 in value as well. We have giveaways this week and next week, especially for next week, the big players. Looking forward to it. Millie Maker for the first time in 2021. You know, and obviously with the website being launched and then our Green Machine lineup builder new version of it will launch this Sunday coming up. So at the end of this week, it'll be ready for the player. So everything will be rocking and rolling by Sunday night. Now that we've moved all the site over and we're adding the new green machine on Sunday, it'll be awesome. I think you guys that saw everything today, you'll love it. And this is just the beginning. I've talked about the foundational piece, what we needed to do to get in an environment to customize and build things we want to do. We have a ton of things we want to get done, but this was the key foundation piece to get done. And your support and help has definitely given us the capital to be able to invest in that. And we appreciate it. Rate and review us on iTunes. Like this video, hit the subscribe button. Even if you don't do the YouTube deal, if you're audio only, it goes a big way. Special prizes next week for the players, for people that rate and review the iTunes. So if you've already done it, you're on the list. I have those. If you can't remember or don't know, go do it again. It doesn't stop you. I'll pull it. And if you match, you know, I'll make sure you're on there one way or the other. I will be giving away special prizes just for the rate and review on iTunes. It really helps us a lot. We'll be doing giveaways next week as we launch the green machine and get ready for the players. Leave a comment on this video of who you feel the best about fading in the 10K range. I owe for last week. I did it last week, but I never announced the winners. just got caught up with the website. So I'm going to do a special drawing Wednesday morning. I'm going to give away merchandise, a master's item, and DFS money. I will announce all those winners on Cup with Gup Wednesday mornings. Close to noon is when I kind of post that. It's the quick 10-15 minute video, movers and shakers on my new thoughts of since we've had 48 hours. Be sure to check out that podcast. If you left comments last week, you're good to go. If you every time you leave a comment, it does get you another entry. So if you did both of them last week and you do this one tonight, you'll have three entries and a better chance to win. I'm going to make it special since I did forget to kind of do that last week on those two. I hadn't forgot about them. I still got all the comments. So go subscribe, like, and leave a comment. And if you've already done the other two, leave a comment on this one. Your favorite person to fade in the 10K range. I will announce all those winners on Wednesday. Listener League winner from last week. Tremendous week. WJ, very loyal member of GC. It's kind of ironic. I was looking through some testimonial stuff last night as we were getting the site going, and I saw his big six-figure day, which I think was Doc Redman week. I think it correlated to that week. so kind of cool to see that going through all the old files. He had 591.5 points. Tremendous week. he kind of went opposite of some of the guys that I faded, so good for him. DeChambeau, Hovland, Morikawa, Neiman, Nah, and Answer. Obviously, I didn't have any Morikawa, DeChambeau, or Answer. I did have Neiman, Hovland, and I think I had a small piece of Nah, but nothing crazy. So tremendous lineup. I assume he won ours, and I saw some of his name up on other places as well. I think he top 10 or top 5, the $55 again. So good week for him. The new link is up. It'll be in the description. 550 spots this week, 1K to first, 3 max per usual. Let's fill this up by Tuesday night, Wednesday morning so we can prove the DK. We get a big week next week. Let's get them to make it 700, 750 and see if we can get a nice big pot out there for Gup's Corner community. This week we're at Bay Hill for the Arnold Palmer's Invitational, like I mentioned. Par 72, 7,500 yards, about 7,450-ish, I think. Four par fours, four par threes, Bermuda grass, pretty common here in Florida. It's wider fairways, but where you have to hit them and the way they slope and undulation at times, they're not as like wide open. You can hit anywhere and it's easy. You still got to kind of hit them in the right places. Distance can help at times on certain holes, but being in the right spot off the tee is just as important. Approach shot is where water can come into play. Great iron play is key here around the green. If you do miss, you need to be able to get up and down, avoid bogeys, quick greens in general. You know, for the full description, go check out our boy Kenny Kim on the Fantasy Degenerate podcast and check him out, his article on our website. He adds a ton to it on Wednesday. Very active in Slack. He's joined me for E9 almost every week in the last month. Hope he can make it this week. All depends on his work schedule. That's been great. We've had a lot of good feedback from E9s with him and I having time to kind of, you know, since I do my own thing here, he has his, and we come together Wednesday and bounce things off. Good conversations we've had in there for the live members. weather. So some showers later tomorrow into Wednesday morning. And then it doesn't look like there's going to be any rain until Saturday. I'm not sure how much rain overnight Tuesday they'll get to. Is it going to make it soft or it didn't have run out? I don't think so. I think it's been fairly dry around this area. But we'll certainly, you know, take a look at it closer to Wednesday afternoon and listen to the pressers and all that stuff like we normally do, which is always important. You know, we know this course a little bit better, so we don't have to worry about that. But we definitely want to hear it's not rolling out as far. That does bring in guys that can hit it a little farther if that happens to be the case. Now, there is going to be a pretty good amount of rain Saturday to the point where they may not get it all in because now we're on the East Coast, limited daylight. Here it's been getting dark about 6, probably 6:15. They could still get it in, 6:20. Now the good thing is the rain and all that's not coming until after the cut. So there'll definitely be, you know, 65-ish, 70 guys. So have some wiggle room there for sure. If they need to go split tees, threesomes off split tees, do the U-draw, they can do that. So I don't anticipate too much, you know, push into Sunday. And I definitely don't think it'll get to Monday because Sunday looks fine. Saturday is really the only rain day. The winds actually don't look bad Thursday and Friday as it sits right now. I think the guys will be able to score. I mean, not crazy score, but, you know, more than they did last year. The whole tournament was, you know, a beating for the most part. The weekend was tough, probably harder than the first 2 days, but it was just hard all in general. Plus 3 was a cut line last year. And I think if you look at the prior 4 years before that, it was around even minus 1. So pretty significant all tournament. I think this will play tough, but not as tough as it did last year, the first 2 days. Remember last year on the weekend, you had guys shooting 4, 6, 8 over. One guy shot 22 over just on the weekend. So very tough conditions last year. It's not a bad idea if you're looking at course stuff. Depending on how you think this will work out, it may be good to include last year. Maybe you want to not include it because you want to see who's done best. You know, considering Thursday and Friday don't look bad. I think you let it look at it both ways. I think in the grand scheme of things, if you look over the last 4 or 5 years, you get a pretty good average of the weather. And so I've used them all as of right now. I think the cut will be better than last year. So I think plus 1 around that number, because I think they'll be able to do a little bit more scoring Thursday and Friday, and then it'll get tougher on the weekend. So we could still see a lower score or higher score, I guess, than normal. But I don't think, like last year, Hatton won it at minus 4, and he shot 3 over on the weekend himself and still won it. So I think the winner will be around minus 10, minus 11. The year Molinari won it, he was at 12. Leishman was at 11. Somewhere in that range. I don't think, you know, Rory shot 18 under, Day shot 17 under. I definitely don't think we get there. I think we're much closer to a 9 to 11 under winner. Other winners here really had a lot of changes since 2015. They blew up the greens after that. So all my focus has been on 2016 and above, but we know Tiger's won here 8 times. Matt Every went back to back 14 and 15. Day, Leishman, Rory, Molinari, Hatton. So no American winner since 2015. Runner-ups, though, Leishman again, Fitzpatrick, Bryson, Hoffman, Kisner, Chapel, Stenson, Bradley, Justin Rose. So, I mean, big, powerful, off-the-tee, you know, domination doesn't really scream to me here. And remember, in 2018, Bryson was not doing what he's doing right now. So a different mindset for him back then. So it kind of almost reminds me of like a great place, like the way Morikawa played last week. Good off the tee, strong, but great iron player, right? And I think that, and to be able to get up and down when he can, he got the putter kind of rolling with the new grip. I think that's the kind of model we're kind of looking for this week. For me, I'm looking at good drives, stroke gain irons, which is approaching around the green together, opportunities inside 12 feet, great approaches, bogey avoidance, and a little bit of ball striking. Just because I always like to see good ball strikers. I'm not waiting as much as I typically do, but that's where I'm at. Definitely a course that I'll put a tad more emphasis on course fit, not like Genesis by any means, and not average, so maybe just a little bit above it, because there are guys that have played here pretty consistently good, but there are guys that get bit any given year with how difficult it is here and how you can blow up on several holes. So course fit a little bit higher. We've starting to get a good feel of form now. So recent form takes a little bit more uptick in my overall rankings for me this week. 15 guys haven't played here since 2016. So quite almost 100 have at least played here once since 2015. It is a T65 in ties. And right now we had 120 guys in the DFS salary deal. I don't think there's anybody being added. It's an invitational, so kind of like Tiger. So there's not like a Monday queue or anything. So I think that number will stay as is unless someone withdraws. Salary ranges, we have 5 guys in the 10K, 7 in the 9K, 11 in the 8K, 31 in the 7K, 66 in the 6K. So a little bit more than last week, obviously, but very, very close setup to like Genesis, you know, as far as we're going to have, you know, probably somewhere at 55% or more of the field make the cut. Typically means a higher 6 of 6, but one or two guys that are more owned miss, you can still have a low 6 of 6, even with a higher percentage of the field making the cut. Sweet 16 for me. If you're new to the pod, appreciate it. Thank you. Welcome. 9K, and I do 4 guys in each range to get to the 16. So I have 3 solid plays and then a bubble boy is kind of how I've been doing it. And everybody seems to like that, you know, and then I do a fade of the week, a sleeper of the week, 4 gut fill plays, and then we do betting one and done and kind of wrap this up. Trying to keep it, you know, 40-minute-ish rounds. I know there's more and more pods coming out, and I want to be – I mean, the purpose of my pod is to get you guys the most information I can get you that's relevant to the week and not go on and on about stuff you guys really don't care about. 9K and above for me. I'm going to start with Spieth. I think he's driving it good enough, and although he can get off way a little bit because of the bigger fairways, and I know I said that cannot mean everything. If his iron game is on, you know, we know he can get up and down from anywhere and he can putt good. You know, I don't think he's going to be high owned. I think based on what I've, you know, kind of just, you know, looking through everything today, certainly was behind on research with everything last night, rolling the side out. But I like him a lot as a potential leverage play. I like getting guys in this range that I can get overweight without having to spend a ton of exposure. And, you know, he hasn't played here. If you go back prior to 2020 and you look at the schedule rotation, there, well, I can't remember the exact 2 tournaments that were kind of always between this that made it tough for guys to play, you know, kind of smushed in there. And so a lot of guys took this one off for whatever reason. And Spieth was one of them. So he never hardly played here. But, you know, a 4th, a 3rd, and a 15th coming in here, the form has been really good. You know, he took the W, or he didn't play in the WC because he didn't make it. So got a week to kind of rest, get recharged up. You know, it's still kind of risky. I mean, how much do we trust those 3 versus overall? But we know his talent level, and we know he's probably trying to get as confident as he can heading into the Masters. You know, so at the price, I don't necessarily even have to have him win. So that's another thing I like. Top 10, which he's done well. Even a top 15, but he scores well. You know, I don't mind that. Plays in Texas a lot, which has a ton of wind. I'm not too worried about that as well. You know, if he can get off the tee decently, and I think there's chances that he doesn't have to be bombing it. If you look at who's won here, I think it could set up good for him. So I like Spieth, 9,300. Sungjae, he's played here twice. He's got 2/3. Kind of different years, both years he played. Last year was tough. 2 years ago was Molinari. I think he shot 17 under. So, you know, at least he's playing the conditions and still grinded it out. Coming off a 17th at Waste, a 28th last week, was up and down last week, made a little run Sunday morning, then kind of fell back on the back nine again, but was still right there, you know, so he battled in the wind and stuff and survived. 9,700 is, you know, you need him to top 10, which obviously back-to-back he's got thirds. He's 15th in my putting model here. There's not much I don't like about him this week, so I like Sungjae at 9,700. Reed, you know, I pause on this because I almost have a hesitancy to fade the entire 10K range this week. Rory will be the one I'm tough with what I want to do there, and I may wind up playing like Rory, Reed, and fading the others. I mean, this will probably be more as I get to Wednesday. I'll talk about mover shakers and definitely on E9, but Rory's track record here is, you know, massively impressive. You know, 27th, a 4th, a 1st, a 6th, and a 5th. So it's going to be hard to fade him. I'm just trying to figure out, is the Bryson Love of, you know, him trying to drive these par, you know, these long holes, par 5, all that kind of stuff. He's got decent history here. is that going to be super popular? Stuff like that. I really think because there's several popular spots this week, you got to pick and choose where you want to just, you know, die on that sword of fate in the area. But I like Reed, and I kind of like, you know, that he didn't finish quite as strong, but he still finished ninth. And here he's got a 7th, a 50th, and a 15th. He's a grinder. You know, he's great around the green. You know, so all that stuff. And he's 10th in putting for me here. You know, I think he'll do really well and not go away too far next or this week. And what I think will be a, you know, a single digit to maybe 10 under type tournament, I think would fit him well because he'll be there. He won't go away. So I really liked Reed. My bubble boy was Fitzpatrick only because I'm interested to see how chalky he's going to be. I mentioned he had a second here. His last 5 years here are 27th, a 13th, a miscut, a second, and a ninth. He's number one in my putting model on Bermuda. His stats, though, are just okay. He's 47th overall. You know, sometimes a putter does have to carry him. He's 9,800, you know, and I'm like, all right, am I going to get to, you know, Sungjae, him, you know, Reed's 400 more, Hatton's in between there. Where does all that ownership kind of go this week? He finished pretty strong last week as an 11th, and he had a 5th at the Genesis. So, you know, I can see him being popular this week, especially that price. Just kind of see where all that shakes out. So that's why I put him on the bubble to see how he gets to Sunday. AK range, start with Molinari. You know, won here in 2019. He didn't play this last year, but the other 3 years before that, a 9th, a 7th, and a 26th that led up to him winning in 2019. He's 18th in putting splits for me, an 8th at the Genesis, 59th at Pebble. $8,700 is a great price. I'll get to Burns in a minute, but I think a lot of people in this range are going to go a little under-owned. I'd be interested. I mean, Molinari has the potential to get talked up a lot this week, so I definitely pause on that, but that's a spot I can maybe just get even with the field if he gets too high. I don't think he will. I like him a lot this week. Potential bet for me, you know, 22nd in stats, 13th in recent form, and 3rd in course fit overall. So I like Molinari a lot this week. Willie Z, I'm not going to quit him. You can just plug that in every pod for a while. I don't know that we felt anything crazy. Again, it's like rinse and repeat. Didn't feel anything crazy about him last week, 22nd. I mean, 17th, 55th, 15th, and a 22nd. You know, putting obviously is one of his weaknesses. That's well documented. But everything else he does pretty well, and I think he's, you know, I think he'll be right here again. Again, he's 8,600, so I don't need a winner out of him. You know, a top 20 in DK scoring is perfectly fine. He's been flirting with that or better every week. He can get up there and get the eagles at time. He can get streaks. So he outscores his position more than not, and so I'm just going to stick with him. I don't mind the betting numbers either at 40-1. That's one I'll take a look at. Kokrak was – I just lost him. He's $8,100. Pretty good history here. He doesn't rank out as high for me overall as I would think. And the AK range in general, I'm not in love with. Those two I like, Molinari and Willie Z. Obviously, I like Burns. I'll get to that in a second. But, you know, if I had to pick a third right now, it was Kokrak. Good history here. A good finish last week in the wind. A 32nd the week before. He is a great, you know, at times a pretty good ball striker. He can hit it off the tee a mile. So on those holes, it may give him an advantage. He finished 18th last year here, so I like that. Very tough conditions last year. He was able to hang in there a 10th the year before. You know, not much I don't hate about him. So 8,100, I'll definitely keep my eye on that. My bubble boy is Homa. I'm not fading Burns per se. I want to see how talked up he's going to get. My assumption, based on even the betting movement today, is he's going to be uber chalk this week at 8,400 for all the right reasons. I don't know where I'm going to go there yet, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. But my bubble boy here is Homa. Only reason why he's a bubble boy for me, he's actually number 10th in my rankings, is fatigue factor. I think this is a 7th straight tournament. Now, being that they're in Florida, he doesn't have to travel a lot this week, so he gets to, I think even posted, gets to take a couple days off, rest, recover. He played here last year, so he's familiar with the course. Got a 24th, so he made the cut in this tough conditions. He is a grinder. I like him a lot. He's probably going to be my pool, especially if I decide to fade Burns. I'll take, like, those four guys, fade Burns, and just hope something crazy happens with them. But so I like Homa. He was just right on the fringe for me on the fatigue factor. But I think his attitude and the way he grinds, I don't think it's going to be too much of a concern. 7K range, I'm going to start with Hoffman. Comes out number two on my entire model. Now, Holland was number one, so it didn't worry me too much. Hatton was number five, so it wasn't, like, too crazy. But, I mean, stat-wise, he's fourth. Recent form, he's 23rd for me. Of course, history, he's fifth. His last 4 years here, a second, a 14th, a 13th. He had the miscut 2 years ago, but he was a 13th last year in these windy conditions. Putting, he's top 25. So 7,600 seems like a really good price for him for a guy that's playing pretty decent coming in. I'll take that at you know, all day long. So I like him at 7,600. Tringali, 7,700. He only played here back in 2016. He had a 27th, so I like that. He's 32nd in putting for me. Last three tournaments in, he had a 17th, a 7th, and a 26th. Number 10 in stats, I really like him. I really like a lot of these guys in the 7K range, which makes me more comfortable of kind of moving away from any chalk in the 8K if I have to. But $7,700, I like Tringali. Next is Chris Kirk, $7,000 on the number. 48th in putting. His four last tournaments here, a 12th, a miscut, a 13th, and a 15th. So you can see a lot of these guys, what I talked about earlier on the pod is, you know, a lot of them that do well here, for the most part, do it year in and year out, and they seem to all have, like, that one miscut year. I talked about, I don't remember who it was earlier, but had, like, four great visits, one miscut. I think maybe Fitzpatrick, one miscut. Yep, Fitzpatrick, one miscut. Kirk, 12th, 13th, 15th miscut. Didn't talk about Jason Day yet, but, you know, great years. He had the withdrawals, a little bit different on that. But several of these guys, even Hoffman, he has one miscut, a 13th, a 14th, and a second. So any of these guys can get bit, you know, so I understand that. But that consistency I like, especially for $7,000. And he's coming in here in pretty decent form, a 16th at the Pebble. Miscut at waist, but, you know, I'm not, you know, but he's number one in opportunities inside 12 feet and number one in bogey avoidance in the field for me. Love that about him. He's third in stats overall. I love Chris Kirk this week, $7,000. Bubble Boy is Cam Davis. I don't know if he's going to be popular or not. Obviously, he's been climbing up the popularity deal. We've been on him for a long time, but a 14th at Pebble, a 43rd at Genesis. He's 24th in putting for me, 15th in stats. So I like a lot of things about him. I like that in this type of event, he can score a lot. And if he does get his bad score, like a bogey or double, which he's prone to do, he can bounce back and stay alive because it's not going to be a birdie fest. He can bang it out there. He's, you know, probably one of the biggest hitters. He's also an Aussie, which Aussies have a good reputation here. So I like him a lot. I'm just curious because he doesn't, you know, is he going to be talked up a lot this week? Or are we everybody forgetting about him? That's why I put him on the bubble. But obviously, you know, I like Cam Davis any given week, and he'll probably be in my pool. 6K range, not as strong this week as last week as far as, you know, outset of who I like, which I really like the 7. So it's leaning more towards a balanced build week from here for me on Monday because I'm comfortable with fading a lot of the up top guys or at least being light on them or the ones I need to be, depending on where the chalk winds up. You know, the super chalky guys there in the middle, a Burns type, I don't mind taking that stance at this kind of course. This course can bite anybody. So I don't feel necessity to go super chalky this week. Because even Burns, his last three outs here, a 49th, a 54th, and a 36th, which is great. He's made the cut three times. We know his nickname, Bermuda Burns, is there. So back on Bermuda, he did great on the West Coast. So now you get him on his favorite putting service. He's a tremendous play, but do we want a 30% burn? I don't know how high he's going to get. We'll see. If he's reasonable, I'll play him at least level to the field, but I don't want to eat a bunch of chalk. But the 6K range isn't just super loaded with big potential for me right now. I got to deep dive and see what's going on, but I'll go back to Harold. Made the cut at the Genesis, decent on the weekend. I mean, not good on the weekend, just kind of survived. He's got mixed results here, a miscut, a 34th, a miscut, a 36th. I like that he had the 36 here last year in the tough conditions. Stat-wise, he's always going to pop for anybody in any way. He's second in my stat model, 11th overall. The good thing is it's $6,800. You throw him in your MME pool. I don't know if I'd go to anybody in the 6Ks for a 1-3 max. My next guy, maybe. But, you know, all he's got to do is make the cut here, and we're good to go. So he's not like we're paying, you know, $7,800, $8,100 for him. So I don't mind the $6,800 price tag on Harold. Neesmith, I do like him. He's a guy that's played here last year, but he missed the cut. Decent on Bermuda, just average. But he's coming in with really good form. I think he's playing his best golf that he has in his career. He's 11th in stats. He has a 7th, a 16th, and a 20th coming in. But even him, because he's only played here once, missed the cut, you know, it's not something I want to get all. I'd rather load up on the 9 and 7s, you know, maybe 1-8 or something, and make my pool there for the 1 to 3 max type stuff right now. These guys are all MME for me as a Monday sits. We'll see how we get to Wednesday, which is why I'm more leaning towards why do I want to pay up for guys up top. Albeit, you know, a Reed is 10,002, Hatton is 10, which I'm fine with. If it's going to be Hovland and Bryson this week, all up top, I'll take Rory, the other two, and move on and just take my chances there. Like, you can't play them all. Loved what Hovland did last week. Been on Hovland for a while. You know, he's a great player. He only has a 40th and a 42nd here, and he's 94th in Bermuda putting for me. So, what am I willing to risk that if he's going to be the super chalk coming off of last week? Certainly. You know, so these 6K guys, if I don't need to go there, I won't. But on MMEs, I'll certainly have some of these guys. And Neesmith won. I like his form coming in. So he's one I'll take a look at. Next is Wallace, another guy that's had pretty good go at it here. A 6th and a 24th. He's 50th in putting. Hasn't played at all. I hadn't played here in a while. I don't know when. This may be his first tournament over here. He's been playing on Euro. So I'll bring all that into the deep dive and kind of see where I am on him. He's okay in my stat model at 44th. Again, I'll go look at his Euro stuff to kind of see where I want to move him. I feel like 69 is a good price. So 6,900, again, potential for 1-3 max core, but definitely viable for MME, you know, 10, 20 plus lineups. So I like Matt Wallace. And then my bubble boy was Aaron Wise. Kind of surprised me. I felt like I hadn't seen his name in forever. He played here in 18 and 19. He had a 41st and a 40th. His Bermuda stats are not great. We know he's a West Coast guy, so that's the reason why I have on the bubble. I need to go back and look at some of the other Bermuda stuff he's putted on to see how that's done or which tournaments is affecting him. He obviously played okay here, good enough in 18, 19 to make the cut and finish 40th, which at 6,700, that's all we need from Aaron Wise. 66 at waist, and he hadn't played. I also wanted to see why he's taken three straight tournaments off. Obviously, he couldn't qualify for WGC. I can't remember if he played Puerto Rico or not. So that's some of the stuff that I'm a little behind on this week, but I'll definitely catch up on a deep dive. And any of these guys that move into the movers and shakers pod on Wednesday, I'll hit on. And for sure, we'll make up for it on all the premium content over the next 2 days. So Wise is on the bubble for me at 6,700. Fade of the week is going to be Usti. My gut is he's Euro. He's over, you know, okay record here, nothing great, but 16th in Bermuda putting, was all over last week's coverage there on Sunday. A lot of people saw him six, but man, did he luck box his way around with making putts and chipping in and all that stuff. $8,800. I think he'll be popular close to that 15% mark that we're talking about. There are others that I'm potentially looking at, obviously fading or being light on. I just don't know where it's all going to go until I start listening to the industry, with Hovland, DeChambeau, Burns, even Rory. People say, oh, I'm just gonna play Rory. Look at his history here. You know, if you play Rory, then now is Bryson going to go under? Look, I mean, I don't mind moving and pivoting to all those guys, so I don't want to say I'm going to fade those. I don't really care about playing Usti at this point. He's 81st in my stat model. I know he had a good finish last week. He finished 11th at the waist. $8,800, I'll just take a pass on it and hope that putter dies out or something this week. I got plenty of other areas I'd like to go better than that. My sleeper of the week is Kyle Stanley. I got him probably 2-4%, max 5%. I don't see 5%. So I think he's going to be very low owned. $6,500. A 17th, a 14th, and a missed cut here. So again, back to that, really good turnouts with a missed cut, you know, is one of his stops. Really good form coming in for him. 36th, 39th, 32nd. 4th in bogey avoidance, 22nd in ball striking, 29th in opportunity, 29th in good irons. So enough about him. He's 28th in my model right now. I don't think hardly anybody's going to talk about him. super sleeper of the week. We get him probably well under 5%. He is a guy I don't mind playing in a 1-3 max and really taking that chance this week. So we'll see, you know, once everything shakes out come Wednesday, but I really like Kyle Stanley this week as well. Gutfield plays Gooch, you know, right here, Oklahoma boy, Oklahoma State guy. He's got a 26 and a 13th. He's 38th in my model, so not horrible, but he's, you know, he's high, a little bit down the road. 22nd in Bermuda putting. Stat-wise, you know, he's hit or miss, and that's just how his game is at times. But I really like where he's at. I liked his finish at, you know, Genesis, even though Max won it. And he struggled that day, but he finished strong. A positive attitude on his Twitter, even with his finish. He's ready to, you know, keep the season going. I like him a lot this season. I think he'll make a splash and potentially could get a win at a certain spots. But $7,900, I like Gooch. Next, Adam Hadwin at 51st in my model right now, $7,400. He's got a 36, a 6, and a 33rd here. Has played three of the last 5 years. He's a field average on Bermuda putting. Last two tournaments out, a 50th and a 26th. I like the 26th at Genesis. 11th in great approach. And then the rest of the stats are just average to okay. So a little bit of a risk, but, you know, $7,400, and I like how he's played this one historically. So he's one I got on my radar as a gut feel. Next is Zach Johnson. Great history here. He's $6,900, so we just need to make a cut, right? Last 5 years here, 5th, 66, 26, 40th, and 32nd. I mean, what's not to like about all that? He's 28th in putting. He was 42nd at the Waste, hasn't played since then. 48th in stats, so, you know, bogey avoidance is 7th, 36th in ball striking, 27th in opportunity, 38th in stroke gain irons. I like all that about Zach Johnson this week, 53rd in my model, but he's a gut feel play I will be on. Bezuidenhout, a guy that was somewhat popular last week, not too crazy, an 18th here last year. He's 2nd in the putting model behind Fitzpatrick for me. His stats are just, they just don't look good, but they're so random. If you go look at the research center on our site, you can kind of see potential there. And when you're playing a guy like this, he's $7,500. So I think at that price, potentially may just not get owned a lot. A 32nd last week, which was, you know, what, about midfield or so. Nothing crazy, but probably worth a betting look. But I think you can get him super low owned, and he could be an MME play for us as well, as a gut fill play this week. Betting this week, as always, brought to you by Monkey Knife Fight. Use the code GUPS, G-U-P-S, for 100% match, up to $50 on your first deposit. Brings us the top five that pop and two long shots segment of the week. For me, I like Tringali 66-1, Davis 66-1, Spieth 25-1, Willie Z. I've seen him 40-50-1 range, and I like Fowler. Hadn't mentioned him at all. Definitely on my mind as a potential play. 80-1 number I think is a good number for that what if moment. You know, Okie State boy played in plenty of wind, has shown some life at the Genesis. He will be my free bet of the week. I'll be putting a little bit of on that at 80-1. And maybe, you know, he gives us that Spieth out of nowhere a few weeks ago. Brooks even had it. I mean, we say out of nowhere, but no one was really on him at the Waste. So, you know, he's got that potential. I think Honda probably fits him a little better, but this could wind up playing similar to that. His tee to green game has been okay. He was struggling with the putter. You know, let's just see. He's worth it. At 80-1, even if you don't want to go DK route, you know, that's a good payoff number and kind of worth the money there. My two long shots is HV3, 200-1. That's probably more of a top 20, top 10 type bet. And then Neesmith, I mentioned him earlier, 125-1. Again, probably a top five. Top 20 won't be terrible either. So keep an eye on that. Initial card will be out tomorrow and then final card out Wednesday. One and done. You know, we got some big boy tournaments coming up, but there's still plenty to choose from here. You know, on Wednesday on that Movers and Shakers pod, Cup with Gup, I'll give my final top five options for the week, and I always will choose two from that five. I've been doing that the last few weeks, so you can check that out. As I dive a little more, I'm more clear. But, you know, I don't mind, you know, the big boys up top, Hatton, Reed, Bryson, Hovland. Now, you may go look and see at this point, is this a tournament that has that kind of potential risk blow-up week? Or do you think you may use one of those guys at a better tournament down the road? So you can take a look at that for those guys, but I don't mind any of those guys. Molinari, Spieth, Sungjae, Paul Casey, a guy I haven't mentioned at all. Interested to kind of see where his ownership is. I don't mind him at 9,100, especially if I really get off a lot of that 10K range. Hasn't played this course since 2017, but has a 41st and a 9th. His Bermuda putting splits are 87th, so I don't really care for that. A 5th at Pebble, but again, hasn't played since then. So I don't mind him, but definitely could be on the board for your one and done as well. So it could be a, you know, a solid play there. Willie Z always in play for me as well. If you want to take that route for one and done, but I'll narrow down my top five choices by Wednesday and include that on the podcast. Join us always Wednesday at 5:30 Eastern for E9, our live premium chat. We will still have it. It'll be embedded into the site like always. I'm looking forward to it. It's been great with Kenny. Hopefully he can join. If not, I'll roll it like I always do. And then don't forget about the March to the Masters. Come check out the new site. Have tons of promotions going on, giveaways all this week, next week for the players. It's a great time to be a member. You know, maybe you used to be a member. You know, no better time to come check it back out now with all the new infrastructure that we got going and everything we're putting into this thing. So reach out to me if you've been a member. You can see what we get done there. We want all eyes to come check us back out again. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really happy with the results, and I'm really happy with the way the community's feedback has been so far. I hope you guys have a great week and a blessed week, and we'll see you Wednesday. Thanks. Have a good night.